Our scripture passage for this morning is the first one this week that reminds us of the battle that we are in against the devil. And all the passages this week will deal with our battle against Satan. And this one is found in 1 Peter chapter 5, beginning with verse 6. Therefore, humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time, casting all your care upon him, for he cares for you. Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, walks about like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. Resist him steadfast in the faith, knowing that the same sufferings are experienced by your brotherhood in the world. Would you please bow your head with me? Gracious Lord, enlighten our minds by the Spirit who proceeds from you, so that as your Son has promised, we may be led into all truth. Through him, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. Please be seated. We have a cat that has lived with us now for 13 or 14 years. I don't know what that equates to in dog years, but she is in a lot better shape than our dog is, who is the same age. We got him at the same time. She's an outdoor cat. We live out in the country, and she's an outdoor cat, and she's a great hunter. And sometimes she will bring and deposit in our driveway a squirrel that is nearly as big as she is. I don't know how she kills a squirrel that size, but she does on occasion. Cats are great hunters. They're great hunters because they are so stealthy, aren't they? They're great at sneaking up on their prey. But in our lesson for today, St. Peter teaches us of a cat that does not always sneak up on its prey. Sometimes he roars while he stalks his prey. Listen again, won't you, to verses 8 and 9 of our lesson for this morning in 1 Peter 5. Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, walks about like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. Resist him steadfast in the faith, knowing that the same sufferings are experienced by your brotherhood in the world. As I see these passages, it seems to me that there are three great truths in these two short verses. And the first of those truths is that there is a devil. There is a real being, a diabolical spiritual being who is opposed to God and all that God stands for. And we call him the devil or Satan. But that is certainly not a popular viewpoint today in our world, is it? You can read virtually every scientific journal, psychological journal, sociological journal, and most theological journals today, and you'll not find one article in thousands of pages that takes seriously the claim that there is a personal being called the devil. But the Bible seriously speaks of this being called Satan. And you have to admit that it certainly explains a lot that we see around us, doesn't it? If there is a being called the devil, how can people find so many ways to inflict pain on other people? How can brothers and sisters act the way they do? Anybody who's a parent has seen this in action. How can brothers and sisters, siblings, act the way that they do toward each other and find so many ways to torment each other? Well, it sure explains a lot, doesn't it? To believe that there is a real being called the devil. By the way, in all the scientific work that has ever been done, it has never been shown that to believe in the existence of the devil is illogical or foolish. No one's ever been able to show that. Scripture teaches beyond a doubt that there is a being called the devil. Secondly, in this passage, it teaches that this being is not only God's adversary, but he is your adversary. Be sober, be vigilant, Peter says, because your adversary, the devil, walks about like a roaring lion. We ought to take that personally, don't you think? He's my adversary. And he walks around looking for people that he can devour. How does he devour people? I cannot help but think, as Peter was writing these words, that he was thinking of the persecution that was taking place in his day among the very people he was writing to. Many of them had been forced to leave their homes. And the persecution was about to get worse under the emperor of the Roman Empire named Nero at that time. And I can't help but think that he is telling them to stay strong during this time of persecution. And he's saying that behind this persecution is someone else. Doesn't begin and end with Nero. Begins with Satan. And what was Satan's purpose in all of this? Well, it was, of course, to make Christians so fearful of torture or public shame and humiliation or of pain that they would deny their Lord. Because if they would do that, if he can steal their heart away from the Lord Jesus, why, they'll spend eternity with him in hell. That's his purpose. It may be that one of us will face extreme persecution someday. My guess is that for most of us, though, Satan will attempt to steal our hearts in more subtle ways by enticing us away from our Lord. James says that each one is tempted when he is drawn away by his own desires and enticed. And so you see, the devil works through our own natural inclinations, our own sinful flesh. He uses against us, and he wants to entice us away from our Lord Jesus. I've seen men whom I counted as friends, at least at one time, men whom I thought were strong in the Lord, who were enticed away by their own lust for women. And finally, they decided that they wanted to live in their sin more than they wanted their Lord. And Satan devoured them. I'll tell you something. He uses our own natural inclinations, and your natural inclinations may not be the same as mine. I'll tell you something. The devil has never tempted me to commit the sin of gluttony with Brussels sprouts. But he has with cake. And donuts and Italian sausage and those kinds of things. If he tempted us with what we hate, St. Peter wouldn't need to give us this warning, would he? Be sober. Be alert. Be watchful, he says. The third important thing that Peter says about the devil here in this passage is that we are to resist him. We're to do battle with him when he comes to tempt us. We're not to give in to his temptations. We're to fight him. In fact, he says, stand firm. Well, let me just read it. Resist him, steadfast in the faith, he says. He tells us to stand firm in the faith. And I want you to notice what he says here, because he says something that some people skim right over and don't recognize it. He doesn't tell us to resist the devil firm in our faith, because my faith sometimes is weak. In fact, a lot of times my faith is weak. But he says, stand firm in the faith. See, my faith might be weak, but the faith is always a rock. What does he mean, the faith? It is the faith that is presented to us in the Bible. The faith, the content of our faith, that is the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ, that God sent him to this earth to take away your sins, take away those times that you did not stand firm against the devil, the times when my faith was weak and I gave in. He's removed it all by taking those sins and heaping them upon his own Son. And then Jesus paid for those sins upon the cross. He took them all for you and me. And in doing so, he won forgiveness and he won eternal life for you. Though you have given in to Satan's lies, he has removed your sins, erased them from your record. And there is a relationship between that teaching and our believing it and our ability to be able to resist the devil when he comes. So stand firm in the faith, he says, because it is that faith that is strong when we are weak. This is what Luther says. He says this, and I will end with this. By this power and might of God, we must be strengthened in faith. We must strive after such divine agency and by the help of the word persevere and pray that there may be not only a beginning, but a continuation and a victorious end. So we shall become ever stronger and stronger in God's might. Whatever we do, it must not be undertaken in and by our own strength. We must not boast as if we ourselves had accomplished it, but must rely upon God, upon his strength and support. Certainly it is not due to our ability, but to his own omnipotent agency. If one remains a Christian, stand steadfast in the knowledge of God, and is not deceived nor conquered by the devil. Would you please pray with me? Almighty and everlasting God, by your Son, you have promised us the forgiveness of sins, righteousness, and everlasting life. And now we pray that you would, by your Holy Spirit, quicken our hearts, strengthen our hearts, so that in daily prayer we may seek our help in Christ against all temptation, and constantly believing his promise, obtain that for which we pray, and at last be saved through your Son, Jesus Christ our Lord. In his name, amen.